Basement, a podcast where two friends who used to do yoga together in a basement now chat about chaos and wellness. As moms, we understand chaos. As expats, we get what that chaos looks like when you take it overseas.
From Manila to San Jose, we share stories of living abroad and explore topics around mental and emotional well-being. This podcast is for expat moms who want to find wellness amidst the chaos of everyday life. Welcome to Brain Basement. We're so glad you're here.
All right, here we are back at Brain Basement. Today we are going to talk about crying, that useful, magical, amazing emotion of crying that we avoid, and what it does for us. So before we do that, let's bring three calm breaths into our day. Wherever you are joining us to listen in this experience, just see for a moment if you can relax your feet, kind of feel the weight of the soles of your feet. Allow your shoulders to soften and see if you can settle into your breath, feeling your inhales and exhales as they move through your lungs, filling you to full capacity and allowing that release and softening as you exhale, softening the muscles in your face. See if you can scan for tension as you connect to your breath. And then continuing that calm sense of awareness for your breath, that respect for your own healthy body and lungs in this moment, as we come back to our discussion, slowly opening your eyes if you had them closed, and just recognizing that three small breaths in our day is something we so often forget to do in our busy days, and how we can kind of use that to settle into our body. So talking about our body and human reactions and emotions, crying has been something that Annalie and I have been considering lately. What do you think about crying?
Yeah, so crying has been on my mind a lot the last few months, maybe because I've been crying. But so before we arrived at Post, the kids and I were in limbo. I might have mentioned this before, but we had to wait an extra like 3 to 4 weeks for our visas. So my spouse had to go ahead, and it was like this unexpected period of time that we didn't realize we were going to have to manage apart. And I think after just a long summer of being on the road, and even just like the pandemic behind us, you know, the uncertainty of that last year, and even reaching back as far as like leaving our last post early, I think I just had some stuff built up that I still hadn't processed. Anyway, I was staying in my in-laws' house, and I remember thinking, there is something like stuff inside me, like tension and stress that needs to come out. And the only way I could think was that I just needed a good cry, but I was keeping myself from crying because I just didn't want to. I think with crying comes a lot of stuff. Maybe we could talk about, like, I just felt too vulnerable in that moment to do it. I didn't feel like there was a safe place to cry, because I felt like once the floodgates were open, it could have been like a big old, you know, who knows how long cry. Anyway, so, but it was interesting because I didn't feel that release of tension or stress. for weeks until I got here. And I finally like allowed myself to let those walls down. And I cried for, you know, a few days, like not continuously, but I felt like I was processing stuff from who knows how long, you know, like even just the last year. But I remember thinking, it felt so good and like really healthy to just let that stress and that tension and that like pent up just worry kind of release in the form of crying.
Yes, I relate to so much of what you're saying, Annalie, because it's like another lesson that we learn from our kids, right? They see something they don't want to do, or they get really disappointing news, and they just melt down. They just crumble to the floor and start sobbing. And we are like, I don't have time for that right now, or I can't allow myself that, or if I just crumble to the floor and sob, you know, I might never, like, who knows how long I'll have to stay there for 3 days, or it just feels so overwhelming that we can't even look at it. So we try to push it down. But again, we're just still carrying it around with us, right? Mm-hmm. It has to come out. And I think that crying can be so useful. You know, like if we just think about the anatomy of it and the scientific research of that, you can be sitting in a room fine and whole and life feels good, and someone could call you on the phone and give you bad news, and suddenly your chest spasms. I was reading this in Full Catastrophe Living by Jon Kabat-Zinn, and your chest spasm and water starts coming out of your eyes, right? Like this is just the physical reaction, that nothing dangerous is happening to you. You 5 minutes ago, you were sitting there in peace and calm, and just the awareness in your brain of something sad and hard and disappointing, you know, we have to experience that in our body. Our body has a reaction to it, and it's not a physical stimulus that brings that reaction about, but we cannot kind of prevent that physical reaction.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. And I was reading too that, like just staying on this topic of what happens like physiologically to us when we cry, mm-hmm. that there's endorphins released. Like every, you know, we say this, like, I just need a good cry. Like this is something that is well known, like that crying is therapeutic, but there's a reason for it. Like you said, our body naturally does these things, and without even telling it to, it's releasing these good, like feel good hormones into our body. And literally like is a form of stress relief. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I was reading in this article that we have these urges for whatever reason to repress, coping, like our ability to deal with some of this stuff. And that as we repress it, it's super unhealthy. But that when we have these oxytocin and these feel good hormones going through our bodies and these endorphins, it's both a release of physical and emotional pain. And it was super interesting because they said that like not all tears are created equal. Like they broke it down into three categories, and like two of the categories had to do with like just keeping our eyes like clean and like debris out of it, like smoke and dust. That was like reflex tears and continuous tears. But they said the other, and most of those tears are water, like 98% water. But the third category are emotional tears. And they said those are the ones that flush the stress hormones and other toxins out of our system. And I just thought,
like, there's actual hormone. If you took that, like a dropper of those tears, it would have hormones in the emotional tears, like we're releasing.
That's what they were implying. Yeah. And the other ones were just water. It was just like, mm-hmm. yeah. So I was like, oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. I think there's so much mind-body connection, and we just have, this idea of don't cry, or I can't cry, or crying is embarrassing or, you know, I don't even know, or adults don't cry, or I can't cry at the airport, whatever the things are. And in 2021, I kind of have this like imaginary TV show in my mind of like, if we all were being real, I would just like come up to you on the sidewalk and be like, hi, Annalie. Right? Like,
how totally. Are like, you? That's the norm.
Like, right. Yes. And we, you'd just be walking on the sidewalk, and kind of 85% of people would just kind of be weeping if we were really allowing ourselves to feel everything we've just been through in 2020 and 2021 and all of the uncertainty just in the world right now. And then us in the Foreign Service community having the added uncertainty of all the of moving, and are our kids going to be in a place where they're comfortable? Will they have friends? All the layers of uncertainty. And so thinking of crying as normal and good for me and healthy is just a new mindset for me. But you and I just sending each other those messages of doing this while crying in the shower, like thinking of these things as self-care and acknowledging this is a reaction inside me and these are emotions happening and allowing them.
Yeah. And I was thinking about crying and just like quote unquote getting emotional, mm-hmm. and like the things that we just say, the words that we use around crying, like I feel like it's automatic for so much of, you know, population to say, to get emotional and immediately say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm getting emotional, I'm sorry. You know, and it's like, why do we apologize after that? It's innate. Like, it's that reflex of something about this is not okay. Mm-hmm. And I need to apologize for what's happening here.
Yes, right. Like, it's like, get it together.
What if, yeah. It's like you said, what if we're all just, what if I burst into tears? So I've been trying to not apologize when I cry, to just, if I start crying, just like move through that urge to apologize for what's happening, mm-hmm. and act like it's as normal as the day is long, you know, just I'm moving into this other emotion and I'm going to move out of it again, but this is, crying is normal. And it's really hard to do that.
Oh, that's a whole new thing. Yeah. Crying without apologizing. I don't know.
Cause it's like an indicator of something's not okay.
That's
and
right.
It's in our culture, right? Like, what are we apologizing for?
And it's like, like I'm taking up too much space, or I'm taking up attention now, right? Like, me crying means that everyone has to have sympathy for me, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
A certain right reaction.
Yeah. I am. The other day we went to church for the first time here, and it was a little too much for me. Like, I think it was like the straw that, the last straw after just a week of being new. And we got through the first hour, it's a 2-hour block. And the second hour, I couldn't hold it back anymore. I just started crying, but I didn't want anyone to see me. So I was, you know, told my husband, like, you've got to take over here. I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. And I think someone saw me kind of leaving to go out to the bathroom, and the car is where I went to hide. Uh-huh. And she asked my husband later, is your wife pregnant? And he was like, no, why? And she was like, oh, she must just be recovering from her last child. And I was like, is it because she saw me crying? I don't know. But it was just funny that there was that link to like, oh, she must be dealing with some, you know, condition, or she must be pregnant.
Right. That's the other things we have around this. Like, it's okay if you're a kid to cry. It's okay if you're a female. I think this is changing now, right? But we grew up with like, boys don't cry. It's not manly to cry. Or like, yeah, like you're crying. Oh, that means you're pregnant, right? You're like, you're in those hormone swings, right? Like someone could see you crying and they relate to that as, oh, I get that. It's pregnancy. But it's so, we just have these like limited labels that we're placing. And going along with language, I was thinking too, we say, like, get it off my chest, right? Like there's some feeling of connection to like lungs and crying and just the like release that we get when we cry and the tension that we hold there. And I've been paying more attention to that now.
Yeah. They talk about, you know, we have these stress cycles that something causes us to feel stress. And then our body reacts to that stress. Sometimes it's like it switches into that fight, flight, or freeze mode. And if we don't finish that cycle, we're still carrying that stress. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I've told myself in the last few weeks, like, this is one way to finish that stress cycle. It's my way of returning back to that state of rest and digest. Because we're not meant to live in that, you know, at that level of flight, fight or freeze. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it is a healthy way to finish that stress cycle. But we have so much, yeah, interesting like notions and culturally placed ideas around this idea of allowing ourselves to get something off our chest or break down for a minute.
Well, the way, I mean, I think of our like past podcasts and us talking about like grief and crying now, like now I think of these things as like, these are my tools, right? Like grief is right here with me. Like crying is right here inside me. Like these are things that I think I used to avoid and I didn't want to look at. And there are times in life, even now, and I think where you do just have to say like, okay, for the next 3 days, it's just go time. I'm just gonna have to, you know, get on the plane and do the things and meet the needs of my family. But if we don't recognize that at some point we have to come back to process the crying, to allow the grief, we can't push it away for a year or 10 years or 20, right? There's impacts on our physicality and our thinking and our emotions all are going to be impacted by that. So just reframing it as kind of like crying, part of the awesome way that I can get myself to the other side of processing this emotion.
Yeah, I love that. I love thinking of it in that way. Like this is a tool I have in my tool belt that I can take out and it will get me to the other side of something. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like when I cry, I'm like, there's movement, there's motion. I'm moving to the other side of something. And that's a positive thing. Like, this is something that is innate within our bodies. And sometimes I feel like we have to like give ourselves permission to bring that tool out and not be ashamed of it. And sometimes, you know, a good ugly cry, I'll admit, I don't want to do that in front of someone. So there is something to, you know, hiding or going and doing it in the back closet.
There's crying in the shower and crying in the bathroom. And then there's crying while making the peanut butter sandwiches. There's crying in the minivan. We have all the versions.
Yeah. And, you know, for anyone listening, that like our three listeners, if one of our three listeners feels like they need a good cry right now, I feel like that's what this episode is for. Like, and for both you and I, like give ourselves that permission to just turn inward, mm-hmm. think about if there is something that needs to be released and explore that option if crying needs happen. I feel like sometimes it's just that act of giving ourselves permission to like, okay, I need to feel this right now.
I think and that's it exactly. It's crying as wellness. And when I think about If you look at the list of our podcast titles, it's going to be really scary. And people are going to be like, be friends with grief and crying is your friend. And everyone's going to be like, all three listeners are going to be like, ooh, I don't, this sounds fun. But the funny thing is that like Annalie and I started this talking to ourselves and now people are listening. So it's kind of resonating that, right, we do need that reminder of, and that validation of, especially while everyone has this perception of, you get to have this kind of life where everything, you're given your free house and you don't have anything to be upset about, without the recognition of, there are hard things and challenging things about living this life. And it's not just having coffee and wine and, you know, exploring the streets of Paris all the time. So honoring that, I think it's so true and so important and not recognized all the time.
Yeah. And we're appreciating both. You know, there's so much good mm-hmm. That comes from our life, but it is, I think the good is enhanced by, like you said, honoring some of the harder parts, and that's okay. Like there's both there and we acknowledge it as things that we can work through. But I think it certainly helped me to talk about it openly and give a voice to it.
That's me too. I can't go out on the street and appreciate like the kooky weirdness that I find at the grocery store if I'm carrying around the sadness, trying to like ignore it. And so it's the balance of both. If I have the good cry and I acknowledge the parts of this were hard, and you know, and I really allow myself to feel what my heart is feeling, then I can go for a walk and it's sunny and experience all the kooky things, and I can just appreciate it. Like these things are all new to me and this stuff is cool and this stuff is weird and I have to figure out how to do it. And that's how I can face the day as like a better, more whole version of myself, because I cry.
Yeah. I think that word whole, it's like wholeheartedness, right? Looking at both of it, both sides. So I agree.
Right. All right. We can wrap up. We'll keep it a quick episode on crying. There will probably be more mentions of crying in future episodes. But now we're back on track. So more regular episodes for Brain Basement. Joining us here in the basement, everyone.